It's lovely to see friendly faces. It's easier to stand in front of friendly faces. But you know something? It's always harder giving a lesson to a crowd that know about the subject you're speaking about. I mean, I was a fireman and I used to do a lot of fire safety talks, and I talked to people who hadn't a clue about fire. And I could mesmerize them and intrigue them. But it's much harder when you've got an audience who know the Lord, know the Scripture. So I rely totally on the Holy Spirit to make it come alive to each one of you. And I'm sure he's got something to say to each of us from it. Different things for different people, because we all need different help in our spiritual walk. I've picked a reading from Philippians, it's chapter 2, 1 to 18, before I bring the word that the Lord has laid in my heart. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind set as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in labor or vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. A wonderful piece of scripture from Paul. But before we look into it, let's just come to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is a living word, and it is one of the best books that anyone could ever read. because it is a book you can read over and over again, and there is always something fresh to be learned from it, because you speak to us all to meet the needs that we have at that particular time. Lord, I pray that you'll come upon me now and take me right out of the message. Use me as your mouthpiece and feed your flock, I pray, Lord. Build us up, strengthen our faith, and infill us with the Holy Spirit afresh. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. When we consider this letter from the Apostle Paul to the churches in Philippi that we've just read, the title of this morning's message should not be a surprise. How do you measure up against that message? Now, I agree that it is a tough order, and that without doubt, it's a very difficult question to answer. We will all find it difficult to make the mark, to measure up. But that doesn't mean to say that we should give up, that we shouldn't keep trying. You know, you remember, we are told in Scripture, if we fall down, go and repent, and the Lord will lift us up again. So we don't need to give up. We've got to keep trying. Trying our best. We need to give it our best shot if we intend to be good ambassadors for our Lord and Savior, to complete the Great Commission which He's given us by spreading His gospel, the good news to those who haven't heard it. We've heard quite a bit of this morning's service so far in song and in Scripture. What's going through here? And to me, it's no surprise. There's no collusion. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read a psalm to you now, just the one verse, 139:14, David speaking. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, David knew, but he didn't always measure up, as we've discovered this morning. You know, he was a murderer, an adulterer, but he repented, and he was built up again by the Lord. And you know, God has a plan for each one of you here this morning, if you're a child of His. And that's the important thing. Fathers care for their children. And you've got to be a child of His to claim His promises. But He's got a plan for each of us. John 10, verse 10b, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it in the full, or abundantly, as it used to be in when I went to Sunday school a long time ago. But I'm sure you all remember very well, because I'm sure, like me, a lot of you went to Sunday school, and you're all well up on the parables. In a parable in Matthew's Gospel, John paints a very clear picture of how a servant should act. And if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, aren't we servants of the living God? In that parable, each servant was given a different amount of talents, in keeping with his relationship with the master and the position that he held within the household. Each was expected to use the talents given to them to be productive and to grow them, not just to keep them in their pocket and flash them about or bury them, as we heard and you heard it, you know well from the story. The same is true for each one of us, to enable us to carry out the plan that God has for each of us in our lives. God has given us gifts and talents, where we read in Corinthians that we are part of one body. And just as a body requires different parts working in unison, as 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31 informs us. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having the gifts of healing, those able to help others, those having the gift of administration, and those speaking in different tongues. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts, love. Now, of course, the answer to those questions that Paul set in verses 29 to 30, it's quite clear to me that we don't have all of those gifts individually. But you know, if we are part of his body and we work, I am sure that the Lord has equipped his body with all the gifts that they require to operate. Otherwise, we'd be a lame duck, wouldn't we, if we didn't have all of them? But, you know, our God knows us, and our God is a diverse God. He does not create clones or carbon copies, but individuals, you and me as individuals. And that's where the strength lies. We have to rely on each other. It's like a rope, a piece of rope. There's three braids normally in rope and bound together, and you can't break it. If you break and slam them out into one single, they're easier to break, easier to snap. So we need to be together, and we need to work together for the Lord. He knows our weaknesses, and believe me, we do need his help. We need all the help we can get. We not only need to know what our spiritual gifts are, but if we hope to measure up to his standards, we need to exercise those talents, those gifts, so that we can use them to the best of our ability to meet his command or his commission to go and spread his word throughout this little town of ours, this country of ours, and the wider world. We had a lovely guy here last week, Ian, from Wycliffe Bible Translators, telling us about the work of spreading the good news. And it's a lot harder than what we have to do. But you know, the Lord gives people the heart and the ability and the skills to do that work. But we can assist. If we've got the finances, we can contribute to that work. And that is part of one of the gifts of administration, looking after our brothers and sisters. Do you know God's purpose for your life? If you don't, then I would urge you to get down on your knees and ask the Lord to show you what gifts that he wants you to use, what gifts he is going to provide for you, because he will provide to meet your needs and then some. You know, Matthew 7, in verse 7, Jesus speaking, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." That's something we need to remember, because we don't know all the answers, but we know someone who does. He knows the beginning from the end, and he knows the best way to go about things. There's no need to hesitate when we feel lost and don't know what way to turn. All we've got to do is turn to God's word. where we can read Jesus' promise in John 15 and verse 16. We've already talked about this morning. Rob mentioned it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, that's a promise and a half. So why is it that we look everywhere else, we consult Google, we'll get out, you know, a thesaurus to find out something. We'll even ask a pastor or a brother and sister about a piece of scripture before we think about asking the Lord to open up his word to us. And that's something that we all, me included, fall short. And it's something that the Lord knows we will do. But he always likes to hear from his children, and he loves when we go back and say, sorry, Dad. I used to love it whenever my kids were bad, my daughters, and I would ask them a question, and when they would own up and say, yes, Dad, sorry. That made me a lot happier than being stern with them and having to tell them off. You know, because, hey, it is nice to know that they are sorry. And we should not be ashamed to tell the Lord how we feel and to ask him for what we need. Just as you would ask your Heavenly Father, can ask your Heavenly Father what you would ask your normal father, natural father, if he was still alive, or a friend. A friend will maybe give you a little bit if they can afford it. But the Lord is generous. He will give you what you need, and then some. The Apostle Paul could not have made it any clearer, could he? Love is the best medicine. For all our problems, we all need love. There's a song about that, isn't there? All the world needs now is love. God demonstrates his love towards each of us better than anything else. You know, we look at TV and we see all of these programs on about love, you know, and seeing your father and somebody else's mother having a date, and you think, what is this world coming to? You know, and I am so glad that God is still in control and he knows what's happening, because this world is on a handcart to hell, as my father would have said. You know, and he's always right. People don't like the word hell, you know, but it's there. It's like we heard Alex talking about his mate on the net. He's got a fear. The fear he's got is the fear of hell. And there's only a way he's going to escape it, and that is by the blood, accepting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as his covering. That's the only righteousness that we have got. You know, God demonstrates that love towards us, as we can read in the Gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. Again, we've sung about it this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As I've already said this morning, it's only when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior that the gift of love, that is God's love, that we can laugh at the worldly problems, safe in the knowledge that we have within our grasp the answer to all of our problems. God's love, God's grace, God's peace. Not peace that passeth all understanding. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can claim all of those promises and avoid all of the curses that were in the first reading this morning. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior I don't know about you, but I feel that it was the most important decision that I ever made. And I think it's the most important decision that anyone can either accept or reject. It's a free will gift. You don't have to accept it, but if you don't accept it, there is only one place you're going, and the handcart's waiting to take you there. God's love, His grace, His peace. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as I said, then we are accepting all of the Father's gifts, the only gift that brings salvation, and that is the only gift that satisfies. And once you've accepted that gift, you can rely on all of God's promises. And there's a lovely promise from Jesus Himself in John 10, 27 to 30, which reads, "My sheep, and if you know the Lord, you are one of His flock. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Wow, what a promise. What an assurance. You, if you know the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are safe. As we've always heard from our little reading from Word for Today, you can claim Jeremiah's promise, you know, "I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, what a promise that is. You know, the only hope that we have of measuring up, going back to the title of the day's message, the only hope that we have are as follows. By accepting God's precious gift, Jesus, His one and only Son, as our Lord and Savior. By accepting God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would not endure. It's like trying to put a tree on a concrete basement and expecting it to grow. Unless you put it into the soil, it can't put its roots down. And we are just the same. We need to be able to put our roots into God's Word and stand on it. By realizing that our only righteousness, the only righteousness we can claim, is the covering of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross willingly and paid the price for our sins. And lastly, by standing on His Word. You know, His Word, Scripture tells us, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, people are trying to change it at the minute. There is a movement I just read, apparently in the Church of England, of accepting a special prayer for same-sex marriages. And I honestly, it dumbfounds me, because if they look at Scripture, there is nowhere in Scripture I can find where the Lord will bless something like that. So how can we, as Christians, bless something which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all abhor? But that's the way of the world. We don't need to worry about it. As Rob's already said today, God will not be mocked. You know, He is no man's debtor. He will repay. So, don't let it get you down. Just keep on standing on the Word, doing the best that you can. And if you need any help, you know the one to ask. Not me. Get on your knees and ask the Lord for His guidance. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are reliable. You are the one and only rock on which we can stand. And we stand firmly on your word in this place, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is clear, that it is undeniably transparent. And it's only when people try to muddy the water that they can go astray. So Lord, help us to keep a clear view of you and your Son. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to be sharp, prick our conscience when we step in the wrong direction. Bring us back onto the right path, because we need you in our lives more than ever this day, and as the day is darkened. And we look forward to the coming of the Lord once more. And Scripture tells us that even he doesn't know when that will be. It will be when the Father tells him. And Heavenly Father, we ask you that that will be soon. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we thank you for all your blessings and mercy. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.